This is Food for Thought. Call Carol at 866-823-1077. And now, it's Food for Thought.
Good afternoon, and welcome back to the second hour of Food for Thought with Carol. And joining me is Jeannie Lester. We are on 107.7 WTPL in the Concord, Manchester, and Lakes region, as well as streaming all around the world on WTPLFM.com, which is powered by the Granite State Dairy Promotion. And anytime during the show, you can give us a call at 866-823-1077. We'd love to hear of a new place that may be opening up, or a place you've eaten at, or a recipe you'd like to share. Or if you just want to chat with us, again, the number is 866-823-1077. We'd also like to welcome our live audience here to the Beacon Building in downtown Manchester. We're at 814 Elm Street. If you still haven't eaten lunch, you can come on down and have lunch at Midtown Cafe, and you can come and watch the show. You can also, we'd love for you to like us on Facebook. You can go to Food for Thought with Carol, and we have pictures of our past guests and a lineup for the week of what's coming up and past ones, and it's a fun interactive Facebook page. So check it out, Food for Thought with Carol. And welcome back.
Yes, yes. Hour two, we get excited to have June joining us.
Yes.
Talk about meatless. And, you know, as we're kind of talking about this and we're going into Meatless Monday, I have, I was going to say an assignment, but I can't really, I don't really have the power to assign you anything. But here's a challenge. She did, didn't she?
Yeah.
Which
and
I
she hasn't
utterly
done it yet.
Failed. Yeah. So I kind of, but still, okay. A similar challenge. I'm thinking, you know, Meatless Mondays are such a good idea, but they're, I can't have the only husband in the world that would be a really tough sell. So we need sneaky Meatless Mondays.
Oh.
Like to come up with dishes that like, they'd maybe never even realize that there was anything missing. And maybe that's what we've got uncovered. But, you know, and some of those are almost, see, I love eggplant Parmesan. I like anything Parmesan, but eggplant Parmesan, I love.
There
My husband does not think he likes it.
Oh,
but I wonder.
He doesn't
try
it.
Well, he says he doesn't like it, so he doesn't ever eat it. I wonder if he's ever even
tried
it. Or, I mean, would you always know that it was the only thing that would really give away the eggplant in eggplant Parmesan would be the rind, the skin around the.
See, well, you can cut that off.
Yeah.
I
like, so I wonder.
Eggplant Parmesan with the
skin. The rind.
I always take it off.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just peel
and if
it
I
off.
Go somewhere. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's not really something that I would normally order, but I always ask, is the skin on or off?
Oh,
and there are so many places that serve it with the skin on.
Yeah.
I just find that strange. Yeah. It's hard.
Yeah, it is. It's a little disruptive. If you had it without that, I wonder if you'd even know, because you've got that, you know, coating on it. You could do that in panko breadcrumbs again.
Oh, yes, definitely.
And really make it something special. And then
try
it, would they even know?
Exactly.
Know. Sneaky Meatless Monday.
How would you do eggplant Parmesan like that and baking it and making it somewhat healthy? Like, would you just, well, peel it and then slice it and you know,
bread
like
it
egg
in
wash?
Yep.
Like
do
you could do egg whites to make
egg
it
white
more healthy, like you said, and with some panko and then just bake it?
Yep.
And then after you bake
sheet.
It?
I would bake it on, the screen there, you know, if you have a, you know, so the air gets all the way around it.
Wait a minute, what screen are we talking about?
Not
like
a screen.
Like a cookie cooling rack.
Yes, exactly.
Okay.
Thank
on top
you.
Of your cookie.
We're all doing these little
gestures
in here trying to come up with the right word.
Yes, I would put it on the rack because this way the air gets all around it and it would brown it evenly.
Oh,
so you wouldn't have
clever.
To you wouldn't have to flip it over or anything
so
like that.
Yeah, because that is smart because that gets me every time. I either don't remember to flip it and I get mad because one side's more brown than the other.
And always spray
or not
rack.
Crisp. Yes.
Because it'll all stick.
Right.
If you don't spray it. So.
Also, won't that help it to get crisp? Because you're going to need a little bit of oil on the outside.
Right.
Or so that
you can always spray it with the olive oil spray and stuff. That would help.
Beautiful.
But then you get all your cheese that you put in there.
Yeah,
but you could
do a little.
You
could either do just a little less cheese.
Because sometimes it's usually only mozzarella cheese or provolone cheese, anyways.
Sure. Yep.
So they do have light versions,
light versions
of it. So.
And if you don't like the light versions, there are so many chefs that are healthy chefs that still say, indulge in the cheese.
Right.
Go for the cheese.
Right.
It's not, you're cutting in other places. If you really don't like the taste of reduced fat cheese, don't do that.
Yeah, exactly. Because you're not going to eat it anyway.
I see a difference with reduced fat cheese.
I don't either.
I really don't.
Especially when you're baking cooking. It and other stuff.
Right.
And I have one. There's a mozzarella fat-free cheese that to me tastes pretty good. Kraft. And I'll put it on top of, pasta and marinara sauce because it gives me that little extra something. And to me, that doesn't taste very good. I mean, to me, that doesn't taste very different. It tastes good. Yeah, it does.
And then, you always can use your whole wheat pastas the multi-grain pastas they have out now are really, really good.
Right.
So,
yeah.
And they have a great flavor to them. And they don't take, like, when wheat pasta first came out and everything, it was... You had to cook it for a long time because it seemed hard,
a couple days. I know, it was. It was like, normal pasta is like 8 minutes.
Right.
And unless you get really fresh pasta, like at Celeste Oliva, and it's, 3 or 4 minutes. But exactly. Your normal box pasta is like 8 minutes. And that whole wheat pasta that Dean's talking about, it was like half an hour, 20 minutes.
Right. When it first came out, but now it's not. It's just like your normal pasta.
Now, you just said whole wheat pasta and what did you say?
There's a multi-grain pasta.
So what is the difference? Like, see, and that's I got so confused one day when I got to, we were just talking about this. I got to the aisle. I ended up not buying any. I changed my dinner because I just got too overwhelmed with how many different kinds of wheats and grains and this. I didn't know which one to get.
Well, I'm been told that it's better to go with a whole grain. That way it's less processed. And you're not getting so much of everything else that you don't really want in your pastas. Of course, fresh is the best, but if you do go with whole grain, then you have less of the other stuff that they would put in it. More
the preservatives and all that, the yucky stuff. The stuff that's not good for you.
Exactly.
I wonder if Angela's Pasta Shop has fresh.
Oh, I'm sure they do.
Whole grain.
I think they have whole. I know they have whole wheat. I don't know if they have a whole grain one yet, but
I think I'm going to make that for supper. Beautiful.
That sounds really good. Yeah. That would be good tonight. I know I was going to make something different, but that does sound good.
Doesn't it? And remember last week when Tracy was here, Tracy talked about that bean recipe that she did sauteed. I have to get that recipe.
Okay.
No, cause I didn't write it down.
Yep.
And that's been in my head. That sounded really good.
I must have missed that one.
It was, it was a meatless, right? I think it was meatless.
I believe
it with beans?
So. I don't know. Wasn't it a
wasn't
soup?
It black beans?
Yes.
No, I don't think it was soup. It wasn't soup, Jeannie.
Okay.
Nope. It was sauteed beans with onions and I think tomatoes and it was hearty.
Yeah, it sounded really hearty. Yes. And I liked that it had black beans in it.
Beans. Yeah. That was like the basement. You saute them with onions.
Sounds good. Yeah.
Right? Sounded really good. I'll have to ask Tracy for that recipe.
Yeah.
So. Then we need to post it so we can share it.
I know. I have to give you some of these that I've been saying, and I haven't given them to you so they can post.
Okay, good.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I did, I love this site that I found. It's just basically meatlessmondays.com, and they have all kinds of facts and everything on it and about Meatless Mondays. And the reasoning... The science behind Monday is the key to health behavior change is to create healthy habits that can be sustained over time. A growing body of evidence suggests that healthy thinking and behavioral is synchronized to the week, with Monday being the day people are most open to buy. Mondays thus be the powerful leverage point in public health promotions to help people stay on track with their health goals. So in other words, they do Meatless Mondays because it's the best day to say, okay, I'm going to start fresh today. It's Monday. It's a new week. I'm just going to keep going with that. The other thing was engaging in healthy behaviors on Mondays help people sustain healthy behavior throughout the week. So that's one of their ideas of the science behind Meatless Mondays.
It makes sense. I'm going to say something, and if Rocco were here, he would get upset. But, usually people always start their diets on Mondays.
Right.
You wait till Monday.
Monday.
Like when
he
caught me at Puerto Vallarta, the Mexican restaurant.
Right.
He, you know, caught me there on that first Friday night, and I said, oh no, I'm starting Monday.
Yeah.
Which, you know, and I understand, you know, what he means by that now. Mm-hmm. You know, you're supposed to be, you know, thinking
constantly
healthy all the time.
Right.
And, you know, 80-20.
80-20?
80% good, most, you know, all the time, and 20%.
Yeah. That seems an easier goal.
It does.
Yeah.
It does.
Yeah.
I just happen to focus more on my 20%.
Oh.
Don't we all? Goes in conjunction with my 2-week rest period.
2-week anabolic.
Yes, anabolic. See, yeah. I love that now I have something that sounds very official to,
oh,
to just line right up with that. You know I'm going to run with that.
When you were talking, I'm like, is she serious?
I know. I was listening in the car.
And I'm like,
that question can always be answered no. Yeah. No.
The one of the other facts that I started getting to was going meatless one day a week, you can live longer. Evidence suggests that eating a diet rich in fruits and vegetables and a limited amount of red meat can increase longevity, whereas red and processed meat consumption is associated with increases in death due to cancer and cardiovascular disease.
Wow.
So
just one day a week?
One day a week.
Interesting.
Yep. And now through Lent, there was another art thing I was reading that do it twice a week. You know, instead of just taking your meatless and
moving on Friday,
do it Monday and Friday, or at least 2 days during that whole week. So
exactly.
Yeah. So it's just little tidbits here and there.
There you go.
And then I found this is an easy recipe, and I was going to do this for dinner tonight. It's called veggie chow mein, which, I mean, this is limited here, but you can put anything you wanted in it, really. And it seems very easy. They're saying to use 8 ounces of a soft lo mein noodle or fettuccine, but I was going to use brown rice. A tablespoon of dark sesame oil, scallions, garlic, fresh ginger, red bell pepper, and a green bell pepper, sliced really thin strips, 2 celery ribs cut into 1/4 of an inch slices, 1/2 pound of button mushrooms halved, 2 tablespoons of cornstarch, 3/4 of a cup of vegetable broth, 3 tablespoons of low sodium soy sauce, dry sherry, and fresh lemon juice.
Wow.
So
that
you would
very good.
Yeah, you would cook your, well, I'm gonna do the rice, so I'll cook my rice, and then you heat up the sesame oil in a nonstick skillet or a wok, then add the scallions, the garlic, and the ginger, and stir fry for 1 minute until tender crisp. Add your celery, peppers, and mushrooms, stir fry for 3 to 4 minutes more. Stir in, and then they tell you to add in the pasta or the rice until lightly crisp. Oh, and cook it till it's crisp. I've never thought of a noodle being crisp.
Yeah.
Oh, that's different. Combine the rest of the ingredients in a small bowl, cornstarch and all that, to make like a, to thicken it up a little. Stir it into the skillet and mix for 1 more minute and enjoy. And I would add more vegetables to that, especially,
right. You could add,
you know,
anything,
it's, broccoli, anything. Yeah. I mean, even eggplant would be good in there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't. Peeled.
Yeah.
Peeled.
Peeled.
For me, peeled. But I don't cook with eggplant ever. I don't even think I've ever bought an eggplant.
I know.
Ever.
You always had Rachel make you yours.
Yes. Well, Rachel makes the best eggplant parmesan.
I remember.
Oh, my gosh. She makes such good eggplant parmesan.
It goes with the sauce, too.
Yes.
You got to have a good sauce. So. Mm.
Mm-hmm. Mm. Okay. Well, you know what? You're listening. You know what?
You know what?
By the way.
By the way.
Incidentally.
For those of you just tuning in, you are listening to Food for Thought, 107.7 WTPL FM. And we are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. We're going to go on a short break. And we're in studio with June on Meatless Monday. So we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street. Come on down. You still have plenty of time to come and have lunch, Midtown Cafe. Come in and watch the show. Give us a call, 866-823-1077. You can chat with us. I'd love to know where maybe you went out to dinner, you know, one night this weekend. Give us a call. And we went to dinner yesterday. We were in Concord. One of my employees in Milford at Jay's Tavern, Margo, she... We went there Saturday night, mm-hmm. and she was telling me that she paints. She paints paintings. She's an artist. I said, "Oh my gosh!" I said, "I didn't know that." And she said she was in her first show tomorrow Sunday, and it was at a place in Concord. And so Daryl and I went to go support her. And, and it was fun. It was a good time. And and they had some people selling jewelry and stuff. So. It was cool. And then we were in Concord and we were hungry, so we went to to eat at O.
I love that place. Yeah.
That is
nice.
Good.
It was very good.
Yeah. Very so. Good.
Yeah. And Canoe, that's the same owner. Canoe, he has a location, that's Scott Olette that owns that. He has a location out in the Lakes region, and they're opening up in Bedford soon.
I know. Mm-hmm. They're not open yet?
No, they're not open yet. No, we
oh,
went
really? Oh, you
to
did.
Go see. And it's funny because when you call the Center Harbor one.
Oh.
And they said that it was open yesterday.
Right. Wow. Well, even when we went out for my birthday.
You know what? When I called that day, I didn't realize I was talking to Center Harbor. Do you believe that?
Good thing we didn't run over there.
Do you believe that? I didn't realize that until that following Sunday when I called back.
That's funny.
Isn't that hilarious?
Yeah,
so,
wow.
Yeah.
That's funny.
So.
And when you go out to eat, you know, we've talked about different components that make it really special, whether it's the service, the atmosphere, those kinds of things. My husband, went with my oldest son, Christopher, on a father-son trip out to D.C.
Oh, yeah.
And so they came back on Sunday. They had an amazing time. They just had so much fun and saw so many, not only of the monuments and all the, D.C. icons,
mm-hmm.
but they, Christopher is very into space and into aviation.
That's cool.
So they went to the Air and Space Museums. Then they had the nerve to send me pictures of some of the good stuff and the places that they ate. And they ate at this, there's no way for me to really convey this, but it's this beautiful, like, tavern with, it was all on pewter platters.
Ooh.
That the food came out, and there was this fireplace right next to them.
Aww.
And I have a thing for pewter. And so to have them eating this wonderful meal, and, Christopher, a 17-year-old boy, even he was impressed. I mean, he just thought this, and it was so cool. It was labeled all he had was chicken because he's not a very exotic. Now, my husband is he'll go for something very adventurous food wise. Not Christopher. He wants some of the basics, but he said it was the best chicken ever. And then he gave a little caveat to that, except for mommy chicken. I actually do have a dish named after me in my house, mommy chicken.
There you go.
But even the, and then Mark had peach cobbler. Ooh. For dessert. The pewter plates, to me, that would have
made it.
I mean, I love that whole, with this wooden plank table, pewter
nice.
Plates, and a fireplace. Wow. Talk about atmosphere, something special. So
you were there and thought.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, and of course, at the time that the picture comes through is the time that I'm, elbow deep into the dishes with two other kids in the background. I'm like, that's really nice. I'm so happy for you. But it was really nice.
We went to Cactus Jack's Friday for their fish tacos. Their haddock fish tacos are the best. They really are. They have another one, a Maui one, that we've had before, and I didn't care for it as much, but their fish tacos are so good. So, so good.
Yum. Yeah. Have you ever made fish tacos at home? Because that is kind of it's not new, but it's a trend that kind of has come to us. Well, I enjoy them very much, but I've never tried to make them at home.
Me neither.
Yeah.
No, I
But, you know, I guess it would be easy enough. You could do them grilled,
Right,
bake the fish and, you know, make them healthy. Because it is, you know, those aren't bad for you, really.
No.
I guess the
flavor is so.
Yeah.
But you could always use, well, the corn might be worse for you because it's hard and
well, you know, you could even use the like whole wheat, flatbread ones.
Yeah.
You know, those things.
So. Yeah. Sylvia makes it at home. I'd like to try hers.
Oh, Sylvia.
She seems like an awesome cook, that woman.
Sylvia is she's our Mexican friend, and she's a great cook.
Yeah.
She makes really good Mexican food.
She goes shopping every day for the food she's making for that night dinner.
Wow, that is nice and fresh.
Yep.
I mean, wow.
I know. I know.
So what else do you have, June?
Not too much, but I did, you know, I need spring just like everybody else. I just can't wait. And then we started talking about Easter this weekend. And I do Easter at my house with 30 people.
Wow.
And all the kids from now it's age 1 to 16. My oldest niece is driving, soon to be, and all that. And it's just going to be crazy. And I said, with all this snow, oh, my God, I can't.
I
we'll all be stuck inside.
It's true.
And I'm not looking forward to it. But I started looking through recipes because Dennis goes, you got to get your recipes going. You got to get your menu going. I'm thinking it's 4 weeks away. You know, I don't have to do it yet. But anyway, so when I was looking through recipes this morning for today, I came across this edamame bulgur salad. But isn't bulgur like a wheat?
Yeah.
Yes.
Bulgur. Yeah. This one has 2 cups of wheat bulgur, water, zucchinis, sliced lengthwise. Yellow squash sliced, and you grill the zucchini and the summer squash, and you put 3/4 of a cup of frozen edamames, thawed, fresh mint, parsley, spinach, and you cut the spinach like in thin strips like, and then green onions, tomatoes, garlic, 1/4 cup of olive oil, and the juice of 1 or 2 lemons. It just sounded so fresh and healthy to me, and just summery spring.
Yeah, so are you making that for Easter?
I think I might try it, you know.
When is Easter this year? It's in 4 weeks?
Yeah.
Is it April what? Is it the first week of April?
I think it's like the 6th. I'm not 100% sure, but I think it's like the 6th.
Yeah, because you scared me when you said, we started talking about Easter this weekend. I'm like, it's this weekend?
Yeah, no.
Where have I been?
Yeah.
I missed everything.
Yeah, no. But, so got to come up with all my recipes and make a list and everybody bring stuff. So it's not as bad.
Fun.
Yeah.
Now, if there is still snow outside, what are you going to do about an Easter egg hunt? Are you going to do it inside?
It.
Are you going to go outside for it?
Well, I won't, but the kids will.
You're going to go out. Here she is like
basket.
Shooting the eggs from the window.
No, you give it to the parents and you say, go hide the eggs. And everybody brings eggs too. So every family brings so many eggs.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah, so it's not just one person doing all those eggs.
It's funny, when I was growing up, my mother used to hide Hershey's Kisses instead of eggs, and she'd hide them around the house, which is, I mean, some of the places were really creative, and my sister was 3 years younger than I was, so, you know, she would find the ones that were kind of down low, or they'd be, like, in the ornate scroll work of a picture frame, and, I mean, but the problem is, like, she and Dad would kind of forget where they'd hidden them, too. So 2 or 3 weeks later, we're stumbling over chocolate and maybe melted, maybe not. But, yeah, it was interesting.
Yeah, we find eggs after they're gone. Yeah,
yes.
Because they miss some all the time.
But, well, now with all the snow, he'll probably definitely
when it melts. Spring thaw. There'll
be, it's kind of be all these eggs all over the place, but it's fun.
Funny.
It's fun.
Wow, you're listening to Food for Thought. We are in studio with June and her Meatless Mondays, and we're going to go on a short break, and we'll be right back.
Food for Thought returns after these messages on 107.7 The Pulse.
Welcome back to Food for Thought. We are live at the Beacon Building at 814 Elm Street, right in downtown Manchester. You can give us a call, 866-823-1077. We are in the studio with June and her Meatless Mondays. And I believe, did Bob send you a picture of a nice,
delicious. It looked delicious. We're talking about appearances of food. I mean, when you want to take a picture of your food or you see that and it looks beautiful, yeah, right. I definitely want to know about that. And Bob,
Hello.
Hi, how are you?
How's everybody?
Good. We're all doing very well. You are. Are you acclimating to this much colder New Hampshire weather after being in
Florida? Absolutely not.
I appreciate that you're not lying to us.
Yeah, really.
What can you do, right?
Yeah, exactly.
By the way, I do understand, and J-Dog is here in the studio as well. He has told me that Ken Kale will be live from the Beacon Building tomorrow on what will be Ken's 500th show.
Wow.
And while I tried to get J-Dog to bring key lime pie for everybody, he said that there will be ice cream cake. Oh. So, Rocco, don't listen. Carol, there'll be ice cream cake in the studio tomorrow.
Excellent. Wow, what a momentous show. That's awesome.
That is awesome.
Peter St. Like James that. Said, well, no one celebrated my 10,000th, but you go ahead and enjoy the 500th. Yeah.
And that sounds like Peter St. James. We'll bring him a Twinkie.
Yeah, there you go.
Yep.
So, Bob, you sent me this intriguing picture.
I got home yesterday, and, you know, we had the snow in the afternoon, and I said, you know, I'd love to make something healthy. You go away for a week, and you're eating at nothing but restaurants, which, again, there's nothing wrong with, but you want to do something good. So I said, I'd love to make a pot of soup. I was going to text Eugenie and ask you what kind I should make, but I knew better than that.
That's touché. I can assign the soups. That would be fun. I'd have no problem.
Really, I went out and I bought ingredients to make my own chicken noodle soup. And, you know, there are lots of ways that you can do it. But I came upon a recipe a couple of years ago through America's Test Kitchen. You know, and they do good stuff, but it is a subscriber-based site, and they charge you for their recipes. But they had one basically where instead of building your stock with the whole chicken carcass and the hours, they use ground chicken in the very beginning to help develop the flavors along with your onions and carrots and celery and chicken pieces. And it all came together pretty easy.
Now, so you still use chicken pieces with the bones? Or no?
I used two large chicken breasts that help in the beginning. And then that becomes the meat that I will put in the chicken after, you know, I cut it off, cut it all up.
So did you use the ground chicken as
you
well?
You use the ground chicken and the vegetables and some chicken broth and kind of let that go for a while. And then you kind of strain everything, push it all through, get as much out of the chicken, out of the ground chicken as you can. And then you just kind of start all over again. Now you have the broth, the cut up chicken, fresh carrots, put in onions, celery, and at the end I added some Swiss
Sounds
chard.
Like a good soup.
So what became That's of me. The ground chicken?
I just throw it away. Because you've used it. You've gotten as much flavor as you possibly can, and then you don't need it anymore.
You should see Jeannie's face right now. She's so confused.
Yeah. No, it's not. It's exasperated. Like, that's the part of making your own soup that I just cannot get past. Like, you go through all this work to make just the broth. And then you start all over again. It's like making two separate recipes.
Yeah, I understand
that.
You watch, and Carol, I'm sure you've seen this. A lot of people, I mean, they can't wait to have the carcass of a chicken or a turkey because that's how you build the flavorful the soup bases.
That is my favorite thing to do after turkey dinner.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah. Oh, it's and I make the best turkey soup after turkey dinner. Oh, it's so good, right, June?
Yes, it is. It's very good. Right, each year, it's her best soup ever.
I know.
The best ever.
I ended up with about 6 quarts of soup, which is a lot, and I keep one in the fridge and put the other two in the freezer for down the road.
See, yep. You're like, I always make it in major quantity.
Yeah.
And then she sends it home with everybody that walks in the house.
What did you use for your starch, Bob? Did you do noodles?
Yeah, egg noodles.
Egg noodles, yeah.
Sounds very good.
And, you know what? You have to be careful with that because if you use too many egg noodles, you know what happens? They suck up all the broth.
Yes, I do. Bob, I do know that. Do you know how I know that? Did you hear my stories about what I did with rice?
No.
When I tried to make soup? Oh, Bob. It was like they made me make soup and I made it once. And I was doing really well until I went to add the starch, which I decided was going to be rice. And I added some rice and I stirred it and I waited like 5 minutes. And I looked, and I was like, oh, that isn't hardly enough. And so I added another cup of rice. And as it kept going, I mean, it got to the point where, honestly, you could, when I brought it in here to the studio, we set a spoon in the middle of it, and the spoon
did not move.
To rest on the edge of the bowl.
I think we've all done that, though.
It was a soupsicle, only not cold, I guess. I don't know what it was. It was not attractive.
I'm not going to say anything.
Thank you.
We weren't supposed to talk about your soup anymore.
No, we weren't. So, I know. I don't know how we got there. But, okay, Bob.
But you know what? You have to make mistakes.
I mean, that's
the, you know, a part about being a home cook is you make the mistakes and then you kind of learn.
Right.
And that's what I'm specializing in. I'm a professional mistake maker.
Yeah, but you're a dessert queen, though.
I am a dessert queen.
So there you go. Some people don't like to even do desserts. So
how? What's your secret then, Bob, for knowing the right number of noodles?
I used one cup.
Okay.
I just used one cup of noodles.
Yeah,
that was kind of the suggested there. Okay. By the way, I'll throw out something else because you know we were in Florida last week, and I don't know how exotic you guys get with seafood. Mm-hmm. I had a fish that I had never even heard of. Was the special at this really nice seafood restaurant we were at the other night called Cobia, COBIA.
Oh,
I looked at it online and it kind of looks like a little shark, but the meat was like really moist and it was snow white.
Ooh.
and a little sweet, and it was really good. They did a panko lemon butter kind of topping to it, which goes well on any kind of seafood, but something a little bit different. I tried. I like grouper, and I've had that many times before in the South. But cobia is not anything I've ever seen or heard up here in New England.
Yeah, I've never heard of that.
But I guess it is caught in the Gulf of Mexico. It's not it's not very well fished for, I guess, because they don't swim in large schools, so it's a little tough to go after. You have to kind of hit one on your own.
Interesting.
Yeah.
So you had a first. J-Dog had a first.
Well, J-Dog had a lot of firsts.
Yeah, he did. I know
from
it.
From flying to once.
Yeah.
Once we got him going, that's our J-Dog.
I thought it was so cute when he was talking about when he first got there and he was so tired because he thought maybe he was a little jet lagged.
Oh, jeez.
I'm like, wait a minute, where are you?
Same time zone.
Yeah.
That's how it
works. It's a 2.5-hour flight.
I've had a couple people say to me that J-Dog went to Red Sox spring training and every photo they saw from him was food. there was not a baseball photograph anywhere.
Yeah. Oh, it was a culinary adventure with baseball in the background.
Cute.
Yeah.
That's why Food for Thought needs to go next year.
Yes. Man, that's one of the fun parts of traveling is that you really you get to try different things.
Yeah.
You know, I've been to Phoenix a couple of times and you get out there and the Mexican food, I know you've talked about this before, how different it is when you get out to the Southwest or even, you know, into Mexico itself. And, you know, doesn't matter where you go. There's something local, something special.
Exactly.
It's true. Different regions.
Bob, didn't you mention that you make a pretty mean key lime pie?
No, I said I can make key lime pie. I have made it before. No, it's fine. Everybody makes it differently.
Yeah.
Yeah, the bottoms are different. You know, sometimes you get them big and thicker, and J-Dog will tell you his favorite key lime pie was the one that had the real slice of key lime on the top of it.
Yes, yes. And I think, and I wonder if that's why, if it was because it had that slice
was his
of lime on it.
One.
Yeah. So, and I think we mentioned to you, Carol's not ever tried it. So
no, I know.
Yeah, we do need to
but
have
you,
bring
you know
one
what?
Down.
Carol serves the best lemon meringue pie that I've had.
Yeah.
And it's not a whole lot different. It's just not piled up. Right. So just like a little bit of a lime taste instead of the lemon.
Hmm. Okay. Interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. All right.
So there you go.
That
happy to
beautiful.
Join you today.
Well,
thank you
for
no
sharing
problem.
Your culinary
nice.
Works.
Yes.
No problem.
Yeah, it is interesting when you go travel different places just to be able to, and whether it's, you know, and maybe it's not something as exotic as alligator or the fish that I'd never heard of.
Cobia.
But, you know, it's interesting. Our country is, you know, somewhat small-ish, but you go from region to region and there are cultural food mm-hmm. trends in that region. I mean, you know, think New England, think Midwest. And you know.
When I lived out in Colorado for a while, their Mexican food out there is so mm-hmm. different than here or, you know, anywhere, that any place that I've had. But it's so good, but it's different. It's different in every region, like you're saying.
Right.
Yeah. Even like when we went to Puerto Vallarta, not the Mexican restaurant,
right.
but the
real actual place.
Puerto Vallarta.
She's the a frequent one. Traveler of both,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know the Mexican food was very good, but it was different.
Right, mm-hmm.
it was different. Yep. We had the best guacamole over there.
You we ate had it morning, noon, and
breakfast,
night.
Breakfast, lunch, and dinner.
Wow,
guacamole. It was so good. And you know when you're over here mm-hmm. and you get it, it's you know it's hit or miss.
It's
yeah.
good.
Yeah,
it's
sometimes
yeah.
hit or
sometimes
miss.
Sometimes
like you know.
Well, the freshness of it over there
at Puerto Vallarta. Now we're talking the restaurant. Puerto Vallarta. We ask for it with a kick, so they'll add some chopped like jalapenos in it.
Ooh.
It's very good.
Nice.
It's very good.
Yeah,
but
they
you know
do
other
have a
places
fresh.
When you go, it's you know it's okay.
It's okay.
It depends. It's just okay.
And a lot of that is very Americanized Mexican
yes.
food,
yeah.
depending on where you go, which is why, like you
right.
said, when you go to those places or certain places, you get a very different flavor to the food because it's much more authentic than what we think of as Mexican or Chinese food or anything else.
Right. Yep, it's exactly.
True. It's true.
Yep.
So true.
Wow. Here's an American favorite that astounds me, and it's, we're going to go with it. It's meatless. So it's grilled
there
cheese.
You go.
I mean, talk about a good comfort winter food grilled
with tomato
cheese
soup.
You can do yep grilled cheese with tomato soup, grilled cheese sandwich with bacon. I mean you can do that's not meatless, but there are so many things that you can do just to doctor up a grilled cheese sandwich. Everybody loves grilled cheese.
Mm-hmm.
Do you believe that there was a you know the hot dog trucks and the lunch trucks that are out and people have those restaurant trucks? There was somebody that did a grilled cheese truck.
Really?
Oh, I remember.
And
I
a couple of weeks
too.
Ago, it went public and had an estimated worth of $108 million.
Wow.
No way.
Yeah. And it's just a mobile grilled cheese dispensary.
Where is that located?
It is in Florida.
Really?
Of all places. Well, which, I mean, you'd think that would do very well in a colder place.
Yeah.
But yeah, the grilled cheese truck. And it went to, you know, IPOs and everything, it's going public and it's trading at very high rates that are astounding everybody.
Wow.
A grilled cheese truck. So sometimes the things you invent, you don't have to get very exotic or really think too far
it's
to come
true.
Up with something
mm-hmm.
that's going to be an amazing hit. You just have to exactly. think of something people love.
That's true.
Exactly.
You know
yeah.
who has a really good, I mean, I'm not eating it now because it's not healthy, but a really good grilled cheese and tomato soup, and it's homemade tomato soup. And the grilled cheese is a short rib grilled cheese.
Oh.
Short rib grilled
short
cheese.
Short rib grilled cheese. And it's to die for. And
yeah.
their tomato soup is Copper Door.
Oh,
really?
Nice,
they have
nice,
the
nice.
Best mm. grilled cheese and tomato soup.
Mm. See, in the grilled cheese, it does have to have all the right elements. You've got to have the right bread.
The bread
a good
is
amount
nice.
Of butter.
Different
yeah.
kinds
it's
of
like
cheeses.
A sourdough. So
yeah.
yeah I don't
and
know.
Jeannie, if you've never made your own tomato soup, oh my
yeah.
goodness.
Mm.
Yeah.
So much better.
Well, yeah, yeah definitely.
Oh.
You know why that sounds appealing to me, Bob, though, to make tomato soup? I wouldn't have to get a tomato carcass. boil it down.
No, you wouldn't. You just open a couple
cans.
Make that
into the base. Yeah. Yes. That would be good. Oh, there's no, God. Like, 18 steps before you even start making the soup.
Well, no. I've made my own tomato soup, and I've done it. I've roasted my own tomatoes.
Yep.
Roasted it in the oven, then peeled the skin off. It was the best tomato soup.
Well, I bet that would be flavorful because roasting releases the flavor of the vegetables and does something a little different to it. But yeah, but there can't be a lot more to that. I mean, you roast the tomatoes, you peel the skin, you smush them, add milk.
In the processor. Yep.
Okay.
Yeah,
that's not too bad.
It was really good.
Yeah, my mom used to make the best cream of tomato soup. Mm. And I still to this day, my milk curdles every time I try to make it. And my mother, one of the things she always said is, I can tell when a woman is pregnant because their milk curdles when they go to make tomato soup.
Oh, my gosh.
Isn't that crazy?
Way. That is crazy.
That is. Yeah, and every time I was pregnant, the three times, I tried to make soup and I couldn't. And even now, I still can't make tomato soup that well.
Well, you're not pregnant.
No kidding. Whew.
I still can't believe how fast the time flies by. 2 hours. So quickly. All right. Well, we're listening to Food for Thought, and up next is Kale and Company, and I guess tomorrow he's going to be celebrating his 500th show.
Yes,
that
congratulations,
is so exciting. And yes, congratulations is right. My gosh. All right. Well, everybody, I guess we'll see you tomorrow. Bye.